Joshua. He's coming out to sing a special, and then we'll go on our service. I would steal your pianist, but I'm afraid Brother Ray would come with her, so forget it. Y'all can keep her.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and blame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For twice on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and its reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever shall share. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Joshua. Can you imagine going to Togo or Kenya and have to speak and sing in Swahili? I can't hardly speak English. I'm Southern, so I've not even mastered English yet, but I think they do remarkably well as English as a second or third language. They have languages, plus they have dialects. And so it's, aren't you glad we'll get to heaven and everybody will speak English? Won't that be wonderful? Amen. I'm looking forward to that. No language barriers. Southern. Paul, we know, was Southern because he kept saying, you all, you all. So in each service, we're trying to emphasize a different ministry of help ministries, plural. There's more than one thing that we do. Like my daddy used to go fishing He'd throw a rotten nail out this way and stick it under his leg. He would throw another one out there and stick it under that leg. He would take two cane poles right at the end of the boat. And so we put out more than one fishing pole. And that's sort of what we try to do. In Sunday school, we learned, and of course you already know, about the Bible Fund. What a remarkable work that is. We just had come in last year, $163,000 for Bibles. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And churches just like yours helped that to become a reality. Just sent out $120,000 worth of Bibles to 65 different nationals in different countries. In the Sunday morning service, we talked just briefly about the Ezra Fund. It's a fund that missionary nationals can go to and get the money. Maybe there's an emergency need that they need to buy a building. Maybe it's a limited window of opportunity. They can go to that fund and draw out the money and pay it back as they can. A lot of churches support that monthly, and so the funds are there when they're needed. Tonight I want to mention the transportation ministry or transportation fund. This is a fund people contribute to help buy buses, to help buy vans on the mission field. We buy bicycles, I mentioned this morning. That's how the thing got started. Even these big, gigantic tricycles. I've seen pictures in the Philippines of about 10 people hanging on just one of those tricycles going to church. Then they have the motorized tricycle things. They call those jitneys. Is that right? A jitney. How many know what a jitney is? That's what it is. It's just a tricycle. Has a little seat thing, a platform on the back. People sit there, people hang on to it and creep to church slowly and safely, I'm sure. We buy donkeys. Believe it or not, there's areas of the world. The only way you can get up to a church is a donkey or a horse. Some places, camels. You want to save up money, preacher, and buy a camel for a missionary. Right. Well, we can buy them on the field cheaper than we can ship them. Also, we had a fellow back in 2019. He works in the Colombian Amazon region. He has a boat ministry. He goes up and down the Amazon River in a boat. There's village after village dotted along the river, settlements and villages that he goes to. He said in one that he went to, there are 28 families in that little village, 28 families. He started a church in just a few weeks. All 28 families were in his church. And I said, Brother Nixon, what's your greatest need on the Amazon River? He said, I need a better boat. He said, my boat leaks and it's small. I get my whole family, it's full. I can't take people to service. I can't take workers with me. So I need a bigger and better and safer boat. You know, the Amazon River is a treacherous river. Those big anacondas, he sent me a picture big around his Not big round as me, but almost maybe big round as Joshua, laying there on the bank, so it's dangerous. And so our church, our home church, got together and we we bought the boat for him, and another church bought a brand new motor, an outboard motor. And so he's in business. He sends me pictures all the time of that boat, and he built a little shelter on it so they're protected from the sun. So that's the transportation ministry, and we can give you more information about that if you'd like to help with that. Brother Ray is from the Philippines, and he'll tell us more about where and what he's doing. He'll give his testimony tonight. Without any more word from me, Brother Joshua will come bring us a message. Again, church, thank you for having us. It's been such a blessing already. We're looking forward to tomorrow night. We have two men from Kenya. We'll look forward to that, Brother Isaac and Brother Stephen. We've been doing this long enough until Brother Stephen Marilla, back in 2007, his daddy came to America and got support to go back and help in the work. Stephen was just a little boy. And now he's grown up. God has called him to the ministry, and he's working with Help Ministry. We're in second generation, so thank God for that. All right.
Excuse me. Good evening. Good to be back. I got three points for my testimony this evening. The man, the ministry, and the mission. And that's what I'm going to give a testimony. The man, the ministry, and the mission. I was born in a Christian family. My dad was raised, he was reached by American missionary by the name of Fred Nall. And he got saved in the ministry of Reverend Fred Nall. And when he got saved, he surrendered for full-time service. That's why I grew up in a Baptist church, Baptist family. And when I was growing up, my dad would always tell me, sit in front of the church. Every Sunday I go in, I sit in front of the church to listen to his preaching. And young as I am, I sit down, I obey my dad, and not all the time, but I most of the time I follow him and I obey him. But every Sunday I sit in front, but I listen to the preaching of God's word. But many times I fell asleep also, and but I would not go out from that place. But growing up, I know what it means to sing "Amazing Grace," all of the, you know, the church, the church thing, and it dawned upon me that if I die, I do not know I'm going to heaven. When I was second year high school, 12 years old, we had a family camp, and second night, a counselor, a pastor, American pastor, approached me, and he said, "Ray, can I sit beside you?" "Yes, sir." And he asked me a simple question that I always know that my dad will always tell me this question: "If you die tonight, are you sure you're going to heaven?" He asked me that question, the same question, but that question was really meaningful to me, because when he asked that, I do not know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm a Baptist, you know, I belong to a Baptist family. But that night, when that American missionary asked me, "Are you sure you're going to heaven?" "No, sir." "Can I show you how you can be saved?" "Yes, sir." He showed me from the scripture how I can be saved. And that night, October 16, 1976, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And since then until today, I know I'm saved. Not because I'm good, but because I receive a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the man that was born 1964, God placed in my heart to start a work. And that is the ministry that God has given me. So in 1991, I married my wife, May 24. And after I got married, I started my work in Mindanao. I was born and raised in Manila. That's the capital city of the Philippines. But the Lord called me in Mindanao. That's where the island, the southern island of the Philippines. Philippines has 7,100 islands. If it's low tide. 7,000 if it's high tide. So, you know, 7,000 islands. So, you know, if it's high tide, it's less. If it's low tide, it's 7,100 islands. So that's our country. But the Lord impressed upon my heart to start a work. starting a work is not easy, and especially in Mindanao. So I asked, oh Lord, give me the burden, give me the desire to start a work. That was 1991. And I shared to you this morning, after 9 months, God gave me a baptism of fire. And since then, what happened, when those Muslim secessionists went inside our auditorium, our meeting place, that's when God said, Ray, I'm going to bless your ministry. The ministry that God entrusted to me, we were able to, every year, God increased our ministry. And I said, Lord, I just don't want this work just by myself, but I want our work to grow and expand. And after 7 years of the ministry that God entrusted to me, we were able to build 15 more churches from our church. From our own men, God gave us men that would start work, 15 churches. And because of the ministry that God has entrusted to me, we were able to build our church. And it can occupy 700 people inside of that auditorium. And I praise the Lord for that, because God gave me that assurance that I'm going to be with you wherever you are. And the ministry that God entrusted to me. And the mission now is that out of these 15 churches that God gave me, there are now 5 other missions from these 15 churches starting mission works. And I believe with all of my heart that God will bless if we are just completely surrendered to His will. And it's not me. It's the Lord. It's the Lord's doing. And if we will just let God say, Lord, I'll be willing to go, and I know you're going to bless the ministry. And thank you for, I would say this with all of my heart, thank you for sending American missionaries in our shores. I'm a product of American missionary. And what you have supported, what you have given for the missionaries, I know it's not in vain. Because 60 years ago, when the American missionaries came to our shores, our demography in the Philippines is 75% Catholics. And I could say this with all of my heart today, that 75% was already cut off. Only 45% in our country are Catholics. And we have really reached the Philippines for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And we are now extending more out of our church. We are training 7 more men of our church that is now ready to go and start a work. So we're going to have 22 works after 15. Now we're preparing 7 more preachers to start a work from our church. Continue to pray for us as we reach our countrymen for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening again, and I hope you guys are all doing good. We're gonna go really back in the Old Testament and in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 2 to 13. Numbers chapter 20, verse 2 to 13. If you're on the same page, I'm just going to read it very quickly, and then we can go back to the Word of God. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Will God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, and why have he brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there. And therefore have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place. It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak he unto the rock before their eyes, and he shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from the Lord, took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lift up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because he believed me not to satisfy me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore he shall not bring this congregation unto the land that which I have given them. This is the water of Mishnah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was satisfied in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this evening that you gave us. We are asking for your wisdom to understand your words so that we can apply it in our lives. We thank you, we praise you, and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know the history of Israel and how they spend their time all in the wilderness. And they are most only getting at the end of their journey during those 40 years that they spent. And during that time, Israel were always, they always feel that anger that they did belong to a place. But God called them to be where they are, not only to learn about them, but also to be in his presence. But Israel, as stubborn as they were, they didn't stay still. They were not patient to the word of God. They wanted something on their own. They wanted to do things on their own. And because of that, they pushed Moses and Aaron to do something that he wasn't supposed to do. As children nowadays, we, of course, are going through a lot of stuff because of who we are. We are children of God, and that's something the devil doesn't want. He always wants to disrupt us. He always wants to misguide us and to do things that disobey God, that doesn't honor God. And we have to be ready. We have to be patient to see all those things and ask God for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see things that we cannot see. In this passage, God gave a strict instruction to Moses. Was the command easy? Yes, it was easy. The only thing he has to do was just obey it. Deuteronomy 12:32 says, What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereunto, not dismiss from it. Moses had a really great relationship with God. since he left Egypt, and since also he got the call from the burning bush. That was another 4 years he spent there looking for the presence of God. And God called him. And he went through all the hardship in Egypt with all the 10 plagues. He saw God's miracles. God used his hands. God used also Aaron's, his brother's hand, to take the people of Israel out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. Oh, what a power. I wish I was there to see that. But God was with him all the time. God had built a relationship with him, a strong relationship, something that will never be admitted. And it was the same thing to us as Christians. First day of our reconciliation or our forgiveness with God, we went through a hard time too at the same time, because the devil still wants to get back from him. We fight. I did that fight. But God was also with me, and he was also with all the brothers and sisters at those times. Guided them through the Holy Spirit. At this time, Moses was also going through the hard time too, but those hard times came from his own people. Was the devil was there? Yes, because he was a leader for 1,000 people. And the devil was like, if I got you, I will get the others too. Because he was in charge of them. But God used the same time, not God, but the devil used the people of Israel to make Moses get to that anger. And that anger brought him not to be patient. And he was so very prideful. And he did something wrong. And out of that, God told him that because of that, you are not going to the promised land. Just one thing. He was so sure that he was going to the promised land with the people of Israel. But because of one thing, he missed the opportunity to go with them. Now the question is here is that, why did you do that? Was this his fault? That God has to punish him so hard? I know some people will say, oh, God is not loving, but no, he did it for a reason. And he mentioned that in the word, in his word, and that we're using it today. Moses disobeyed God, and he provoked God's anger. And this forfeit his favor and blessing, and at the same time brings a curse unto Moses. There are certain things I want all of us to see here as a Christian, is that when we obey God and when God says something, it's not our place to add anything into it. It's not our place to say no. It's not our place to be like, oh God, what about this? What about that? No. Our role is to be obedient to him. When he says go right, you go right. When he say go left, go left. When he say go in front, straight, you do the same thing. Why? Because there's a blessing coming out of it. If you don't do it, then he will tell us, you are not getting this, you are not getting that, or something we have been praying for a very, very long time. And just because of that one thing we did, I'm not going to bless you with this. It hurt? Yes, it does hurt. One of the testimony I will give is that a long time ago, I was looking for a partnership or a partner, I'll put it that way. But I didn't ask for God's advice and through it. I know the word of God. He said, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. Don't make a relationship with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Because I am your God, and I don't want you to have a partnership with someone that's not from the kingdom of God. That's not part of my relationship with you and me. Was I so interested to that girl? Yes, I was. But God said, no, this is not going to happen. And it happens that he took that girl away from me. Was I sad? Yes, I was. Of course, my parents knew about it and everything, but God said, this is what I want for you, and this is for your best. Now, if I want you to go and get another girlfriend, I want you to ask me for advice first. And of course, I did, and hopefully this year, something great is going to happen. It's already on the way. I know it because he promised it to me. Obedience comes with a right attitude and how you manage it, how you want those blessings coming to you. And obedience comes to you also with no adding to the word of God. When you say, don't do this, don't do that. When you say, do this, do this. And I'm glad to see you all here today as a Christian, because you're also an example of it. And I hear stories, and I hear how you guys talk. I can see joy in it. And I pray God that it goes the same way, and it keeps growing for his glory. With obedience into the Lord come also blessings. Like I said, God never abandons his children. He never. That's not one of his character. He's always with us all the time. He never abandons us. Does he gonna punish what? Yes, he's gonna do it for our own good, but he's never gonna leave us alone. You know, because he's always on my side. Our job is to be open and let him do what he wants in our lives every single day. Proverbs 25:6 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. When we all, at the same time that we put our trust in God and we know that he's our Savior and Lord forever, he already protects us. It's also a shield of the Holy Spirit surrounding us. And that shield has to stay in, because we're always in communication with God. It's a daily devotion every single day, before meals, after meal, before bed, after bed. This is a continuing relationship, partnership with God. That surrender spirit means that even things that will come for us or against us, it's not going to attend us. It's not going to go, you know, they're not going to destroy because of the Holy Spirit that is protecting us, because we have a great communication with God, and those things that are not going to attack us. That's the shield. But we want that shield to grow. We want that shield to stay there and to stay still and protect us. And by doing so, we have to be obedient to him. and always with him. The Bible is filled with examples of people, of course, that disobey God, and of course, at the end, they have devastating consequences. And one of the examples is David, our great, 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 great father. He did something wrong many times. He killed and lied. And the consequences was a baby was dead. That hurts. Did he cry to God to forgive him? Yes, he did. But the punishment was still there. If he hadn't do that, he will have blessings coming out of it. And that maybe that baby will live. Maybe that baby will live. But he cried that night. And when that baby died, he knew exactly that there's no options anymore. He stood up and continued the work. Was it forgiven? Yes, it was forgiven. But if he obeyed in the first place, that's not going to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen. Fortunately, people can always repent, of course, and choose obedience. But let's do that. Let's be obedient. Not after the consequences, but let's just do it, keep it that way till the end, till he comes. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is also part of a great verse that will bring us to him all the time because he loves us. But this doesn't mean that we have to go and sin, because this verse is here doesn't mean that we have to disobey God. No. Do we want blessings as Christians? Yes, we do. Do we want to live longer? Yes, we do. Those are the blessings that God promised to us. Do I want that? Yes, I do. In this passage, we see that even Moses didn't complain about his punishment. He did not say, Why God, why I'm not going to the promised land? He didn't say that. Why? Because he knows he did something wrong. And the reason why he knows what brought him that is because the Holy Spirit was still with him, telling him that you did something wrong. And the only thing I had to do is just to humble yourself and just continue the work. It also proves that the Holy Spirit was still with him. It means that if we're saved, the Lord of God is always with us no matter what. It's not going to leave us. It's not because we've seen that the Holy Spirit is going to leave us, but it's going to break our relationship with God. And that's not what I want, and that's not what I believe you don't want either. As we stand on the promise, precious promise given by God, do we obey his command exactly or twist them according to our temperament, thereby missing his promises? Let's remind ourselves of who God is and what he's capable of. Oh my goodness. He's capable of great, amazing things. That's something we can never imagine. Let's fear him with love and obedience to his word. In his holiness, he will always be compassionate about to us. He's always compassionate to every one, because what? We are his children. Moses' disobedience and consequences, yes, he was, but he also called the man of faith in Hebrews 11. The Bible still remembers him. His failure at the rock did not break his relationship with God, but God uses him. if Christ didn't obey God, we wouldn't be here. But because he did, we're here and we believe in him. I'm going to end it with this testimony of obedience and this from my dad. My dad, he was a chief on the village, like a king. But that kingdom was made in the darkness, where he has to be part of the voodoo and the witchcraft and things like that. He was there for quite a bit, and he was married to my mom, until a preacher from the United States. And that preacher was, if I remember, Dallas Washer. And he came and shared the gospel to him. My dad accepted Christ when that preacher shared the gospel with him. And I'm so glad that preacher shared with him the, how we call, salvation security. Because when you are in that darkness, you're always going to be afraid to get out, because they think they're going to kill you, or they're going to kill a member of your family. It's very, very, very hard when you're in it for a very, very long time. But my dad obeyed, and he trusted God that he will protect him all the way. He left. He left that village, and then he was in Ghana, close to Togo, and then he moved to Togo after he was saved with my mom. And those people that were there were always telling him that he's going to die if he doesn't return. They're putting fear in him. But I know that my dad trusted a very powerful God. And God uses him. And one of the reasons I'm here, and I want God to use me also, because I know there's a powerful God. If we obey him, he will protect us all the way. He will never leave us alone. He will always be our side. And God has used my dad in a very amazing way. And because of that, God has blessed him. And while blessing him, he blesses him with a son. And I'm very glad, because I'm going to take that torch and share that amazing message to the young people and children in Togo, just because he was obedient to him. He was obedient to God. He was obedient to the word of God. I know it's not easy. I'm still a young guy. But the devil is still running around like a lion, trying to destroy. And personally, I want to stand fast and see the salvation of God in my life, and also in my future wife's life, and my future kids. So, because it's an honor, it's a blessing to praise him, to be with him, to be obedient to him. And I'm very glad to be part of his kingdom. And I hope we all are too. This is the short message I wanted to give all of you, and I hope it brings peace in your heart.